This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Ellen Zimmerman. Ellen is with the U.S. Grains Council. She'll join us in just a moment. First off, let's talk cattle. Dr. Daryl Peel is Oklahoma State University Livestock Marketing Economist on cattle coming in.
The vast majority of cattle we bring in from Mexico are feeder cattle, mostly steers, but sometimes heifers. These would be steers and spayed heifers. And so they come in as feeder cattle. They're usually relatively lightweight. They often go to stocker programs for grazing for a while, then to a feedlot and on through the system. You know, more recently, some of the cattle are a little bit heavier, and with tight cattle supplies, some of those cattle are coming in and going straight into feedlots in the U.S., obviously mostly in the southern part of the U.S.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Ellen Zimmerman. Ellen's with the U.S. Grains Council, serves as Director of Industry Relations. And Ellen, it's great to see you.
Great to see you. Thanks for having me.
Okay. First off, I know we do this from time to time, but just a gentle reminder, that elevator speech of who is the U.S. Grains Council and what do you do?
Yeah, so the U.S. Grains Council is an association of corn, sorghum, barley farmers, as well as our agribusiness members that touch the grain export value chain, as well as our ethanol plants here in the U.S. We are a USDA cooperator, which means we receive federal funding through the Farm Bill to accomplish our work. And our work is to promote the export of grains and ethanol. As I like to say, move that grain. We don't care how, we don't care where. We have full-time presence in 29 countries, programs in 60, working on behalf of our membership.
Now, the U.S. Grains Council actually was started by one of your members, if you will. The sorghum industry, if I recall correctly, started what is now today the U.S. Grains Council. That was a few years ago, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, so we have been around since 1960. Our sorghum farmers and our corn farmers were certainly the group that brought the core of our membership together. Our history has a really interesting start to it. 65 years ago, we are celebrating our 65th anniversary. A group of Iowa farmers in particular, got together to talk about the depleted hog herd from Japan. They had a natural disaster that washed out most of their hog population. And the saying, when pigs fly, the U.S. Grains Council starting program was actually putting pigs on an airplane from Iowa. The hog airlift, as we call it, took those Iowa genetics to Japan and repopulated the hog herd, which then repopulated the feed demand in Japan and one of our partners and loyal customers today.
Interesting when we can just stop and take the time to look back at where we've been. And we're going to look down the road where we're going in a moment. But one of the things that's right around the corner is a meeting that the U.S. Grains Council holds every year. You've got a couple of big meetings. You have one kind of in the winter. You have one in the summer. Tell us about the one that's coming up.
Yeah, so this is our annual Board of Delegates, our 65th annual Board of Delegates, and it's taking place in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We're really excited to bring our membership together, accomplish our association business, but also take a look back and, like you said, take a look to the future as well. It's a really exciting time in trade and in exports, and so we'll, of course, be talking about markets and programs. We have a lot of our past chairs from our history joining us in Grand Rapids to help celebrate the 65 years of really rich history and good work done over the years. And then we'll, like I said, be looking to the future of what's next, what's coming down the pipeline in this hopefully next 65 years of the U.S. Grains Council.
Ellen Zimmerman is with the U.S. Grains Council. She's our special guest on today's Agribusiness Report.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Ellen Zimmerman. Ellen is Director of Industry Relations. Hey, Ellen, when we talk about what the Grains Council is doing, where do you get your marching orders?
Yeah, so we work with our members to get those marching orders. We have committees or advisory teams, as we call them, seven different ones that meet at each of our conferences and then in between conferences as well. And they really work to set the tone, the priorities, the priority markets, our programs. All of that starts with our membership. And so this Board of Delegates meeting is an important part of that priority setting as we look to the next couple of months and the next year.
Okay, you earlier mentioned some program funding that comes through the Farm Bill. They're acronyms, MAP, FMD, and I believe is RAP in there as well. But tell us about each one of those and how they work and how the council actually puts those dollars to work.
Sure. So MAP, Market Access Program, and FMD, Foreign Market Development, as well as RAP, which is a different kind of source of money, which is the Regional Agricultural Promotion Program. All of these are dollars that come through USDA. Like I said, some from the Farm Bill, others have other sources of dollars. And how it works is we take our membership dollars, or our first dollars, as we like to call it, and we use those as part of our application to USDA to show stakeholder support. So our member dollars, or the matching funds for our federal dollars, come first. We have to make sure we meet the matches for our federal dollars. And then we get those federal dollars. So member dollars are typically used for our headquarters, our member services, our member meetings, that sort of thing. But they're leveraged to be able to amplify and double those dollars with federal contributions. And then the federal dollars are used to really fund our international programs. So we do about 12,000 programs a year, about 1,000 a month is what we're looking at around the world in those 60 different countries. And we focus on trade policy, trade servicing, and demand building in those markets around the world. And what program type we use or what it kind of looks like depends on, of course, the market, and then also our commodities and the customers we're working with as well.
So, Ellen, if somebody's trying to sell me something, they may pick up the phone, they might send me something in the mail, I might get an email, I might get a pop-up on a website, things like that. That doesn't really work when it's when we're talking about U.S. commodities and trying to find buyers overseas and in other markets. So tell us about how that works and how the importance, if you will, of those regional offices.
Yeah, great question. So the U.S. Grains Council, we do not buy or sell commodities. Our currency, as we like to say, is information and relationships. So our goal is to get U.S. Sellers in a room with buyers from around the world so that they can then have those conversations. The work that we do is, again, about bringing those people together, the relationship building pieces, and that's why the boots on the ground around the world are so important. They understand the market. They understand the players. They understand the trade dynamics. And, of course, you know, have relationships with those buyers, too, which is really key when we talk about trade servicing, too. The U.S. Grains Council wants to make sure we can answer questions of our buyers around the world about the good quality products that the U.S. has, understanding our pricing structure, What does our infrastructure look like? How does corn from Ohio get to somewhere else in the world? And our staff around the world are experts at answering those questions to help facilitate the trade. Again, relationship and information is our currency.
You know, if I'm running a business, I want to know what my return is on certain investments that I make. And, you know, your buyers are looking at returns on investment as well. But is there any way to determine whether or not the investment being made by the U.S. is a good return on that investment, the ROI?
So we track that very closely at our buyer sellers conferences and other places where we have folks engaging. We do track sales made during those conferences or those programs. So Export Exchange, one of our big conferences, our flagship program in October 2024, resulted in 275 million sales in those 3 days of our conference there in Fort Worth, Texas. Similarly, when we have regional events, we do the same thing. We track those sales. We don't keep very respectful of the data of our customers, and so we're just asking them, did you make a sale? If so, how much? We don't get into the details of where exactly it's going, but we can certainly track those sales. We also track like market access or different things. So in a lot of our aquaculture programs, we're looking at inclusion rates. So higher inclusion rates means greater demand. The Farm Bill programs, MAP and FMD, have really good reporting structures. So we turn that into USDA so they know. And those programs have a 24-to-1 ROI on program successes. So what that looks like is, again, we turn those reports into USDA as well as the other cooperators that are working in that same space from those same program dollars. So we can show, of course, the government, but also our stakeholders that ROI too. So for ROI to our members, as they're funding the U.S. Grains Council for those first dollars, those stakeholder dollars, we're able to track the ROI for them too, which I think is really important. So our checkoff contributors in the state, our agribusiness, ethanol plant members, they can feel really confident that we're doing good work and kind of moving the needle on their behalf.
Ellen Zimmerman is with the U.S. Grains Council. She's our special guest on today's Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Ellen Zimmerman. Ellen is Director of Industry Relations, U.S. Grains Council. All right, Ellen, we're wrapping up. Final thoughts here for you?
Yeah, so like I said, Grand Rapids is going to be a really great conference to see some of the work that we have going on right now, to celebrate 65 years of really rich history and look forward to the next chapter that's coming. The next big thing kind of on the docket for the Grains Council here in the U.S. is our Global Ethanol Summit. That's in October of 2025. We'll be bringing international ethanol policymakers and buyers from probably more than 40 countries. We're looking at attendance about 450 people here in D.C. to talk all about ethanol. What are the demand drivers? What are the potential uses? And what does policy look like for our customers around the world for them to be able to kind of build the policy, the infrastructure to be able to use ethanol moving forward? So those are the big ticket items left this year, and we'll be talking about 2026 in no time.
All right. If we want to keep up with the U.S. Grains Council, I bet we can find you online.
You most certainly can. Grains.org is our website, and you can find my email and contact information there. Happy to field questions about the work we're doing around the world.
Director of Industry Relations with the U.S. Grains Council, USGC. Again, online, grains.org. That's Ellen Zimmerman. I'm Tony St. James. This is the Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Kurt Kovarik is with the Clean Fuels Alliance America.
You know, if you think about where we've come in the last 20 years, in 2005, we were producing less than 100 million gallons a year. Last year, we produced about just over 5 billion gallons of biomass-based diesel in 2024. So that means that we're adding additional value to every bushel of soybeans. About 10% of the value in a bushel of soybeans is a result of the value that our industry adds to the oil today. That's about a dollar per bushel, which is significant, and it contributes to clean air, energy independence. About 10% of our nation's distillate pool is biomass based diesel. So we've grown significantly, and we're continuing to grow, and we look for new opportunities to grow even further.
It's the Agribusiness Report.